You know, and I'm not one for repetition, but preaching the Word of God deals with a lot of repetition. Oh, yes, repetition. And mostly the repetition is about how to get saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know? The most common question you hear going around is, do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Right? I mean, they're simple questions, but people who are truly saved or think they're saved, they have a problem in that, well, they don't want to listen to any messages that deal with salvation. Right? But, you know, I have a question for you before I start this sermon today. I got a question for you that you must ponder deeply. And that question is, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure? Now, a lot of you out there hearing this message are going to say, well, yes, I know. I gave my life to Christ 20 years ago. Yeah. Oh, come on, we haven't got anything else to preach about. Well, you know, every time you listen to a sermon, you're going to get a little more information. I don't mean information that's not needed. I mean information that perhaps you didn't realize before. And perhaps you are saved. But, you know, maybe, just maybe, you never gave it another thought like you once gave yourself over to Christ, like we all must do. Said you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then you close the book. Then you get on with your life. And when people say, are you saved? Do you believe in Jesus? And your answer right away is, well, yes, of course. Okay, what's for supper? Now, where are we going tonight? What are we going to do for some fun tonight? Get out the cards. You know, come on. Come on. You know, well, you can have a packed church of hundreds of people, and you can say to them on a loudspeaker, is there anybody here that's not sure that they're, when they die, that they're going to heaven? You know what you're going to get? A lot of screwball answers. And I mean that politely but generously. That's what you're going to get. Oh, yeah, I believe. Yeah, oh, sure. Well, I gave my life to Christ 20 years ago. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I'm a Christian. Yeah. But, you know, when you walk an aisle in a church, I mean, and the preacher says to you, you know, the aisle is open, you know, the Word of God is here waiting for you. All you have to do is come down to the front. You know, we'll have a short prayer. And if you're not sure about your salvation, we'll talk it over after the service. Okay, you get a lot of that. And you don't get a lot of that. Depends on what church you go to. Well, I'm a Christian. Now, first thing you're saying, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You know what? I was sure as a Christian right from day one. Because my conversion was radical. I mean, it was life or death physically for me. And Jesus chose life for me. He not only saved me from my sin, but he saved me from myself. I can never forget that cold October night. Oh, many, many years ago. But I was walking along a country road. I had nothing to live for, nothing to give, no job, no nothing. Felt like the world was on top of me. There was just no more to do in this life. I just wanted to lay down and die. And I walk along the side, you know, a gravel road, you know, on a dark night, rainy night, and the gravel was slipping beneath my feet. And once it had to happen, I finally slipped. And I rolled down into the ditch. The what? The wet ditch. But I had a lot of alcohol in me, so it didn't bother me too much. But you know what I did when I got down in that ditch? I was lying on my back. and looking up at the rain. I couldn't see it because it was too dark, but I could feel it pounding on my face. And I said, Lord, you got to help me. You know what my life's like? It's just touch and go. It's bad. It's bad. It's real bad. You got to help me, Lord, if you're really there. If you're really there? Huh. I looked up into the rain again, and I couldn't see anything. I'm not going to come at you now with some miracle that happened to me, although it was a miracle, as you'll see in the end. But what really happened to me was I had nobody in the world to talk to about my sorrow, my grief, except God. And I wasn't a real, believer as such. I mean, I kind of believed. I was a Catholic at the time. But it didn't seem God was answering the prayers of, as a Catholic, my prayers just weren't getting there. So I got real close. I got real, real bold and up close, and I said, God, are you there? Can you see me in this dark hole? I'm lying in here freezing. Can you see me? Now, you're all thinking I'm going to say yes. He answered and said, yes, I can see you. But you know what? He didn't answer, not in a verbal sort of way. But I felt it. I felt it deep inside me. Yes, he was saying, I see you there. I see you there. What do you want? What can I do for you, Tom? And I said, Lord, if you can see me, if you know my story, if you know my pain and my grief and my sorrow, tell me. I want to serve you. If there's anything here, these are the exact words I said, if there's anything here worth saving, you can have it. Now, that's not the way you'd, go about begging for your salvation, but I was serious. I was desperate. I just said, Lord, if there's anything here worth saving, I give it to you. You can have it. What happened next was the beginning of a new life. I believed. I knew I had to believe in Jesus. And you know what? God lifted me up out of that miry clay, set me on my feet, and put me on my way, and he talked to my heart every day since and told me what he would have me to do. And I've never been happier. I've never been sure in all my life that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But you know, we have to face the facts. You know, you can't fool God. You can't, say, well, I got to get out of this situation, A, before the train runs over me, or I get hit by a car, or I fall down a cliff, off a cliff. No, that's not how God works. You got to come to him now, in whatever situation you're in. If you're downtrodden, if you feel defeated by the world, if you're having trouble in your home life, if you're having trouble with your relatives, or there are enemies at your door all the time, give your life to Christ, but give it to him now. Tell him, although he knows, he wants to hear you. But you know what he wants to hear first? That you're sorry. That you're sorry you didn't call on him before. That's called repentance. You know, you can say, well, I believe in you, Lord, and you got to help me. I need you so desperately. No, you got to believe. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Oh, yes. You know, let's face the facts. The facts are, we are all guilty before God. We are all guilty before God. Romans 3, 10 and 12 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No, not one. And I was one who was not, right? None of us. do good. None of this. We think we do. Okay, you help a little old lady across the street. I suppose that's good in a way, but in God's eyes, you know, it's not the helping of others physically, maybe. It's helping them to understand the power of Almighty God, helping them to realize that Jesus Christ paid the price for their sin, helping them to recognize that they are sinners. And there's a lot of people out there so proud, they just can't bother telling you, I ain't no sinner, what do you mean? What did I do that's such a sin? You don't even know what you're talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And therefore I know what I'm talking about. You know, no one. This is just so utterly important. No one can go to heaven if he dies in his sin. A lot of people think, oh, well, that was just a trivial thing, you know. I mean, so, you know, I mean, I say, called her a dirty name, or him, or I stole that, you know, that, whatever, that pencil off the school desk. That's nothing. God isn't going to keep me out of heaven because of that, is he? Well, if that's your attitude, you ain't going nowhere except where you don't want to go. You know that? You're not. You're not. As long as you're in your sin, you may as well forget about it. And that's why we must repent and give ourselves over to Jesus Christ and do it quickly. Because we are all sinners. You know, I'm a sinner even though I'm saved. I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner. But you know I'm saved. I am. I am. Because if I sin or when I sin, you know, I know my sin's covered by his blood. So I'm not worried about it, but I try not to. I pray for strength that I do not sin. I do not lie. I do not cheat. I do not, you know, take his name in vain and things like that. But I am a sinner. I will always be a sinner until I enter into the gates of heaven. And that sin question is answered. It's all taken care of. It's all taken care of. All who die in their sin, well, they'll experience eternity in the lake of fire. Wow, that's, you know, that hurts just to think about it. You know, do you believe in hell? Well, you might say, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. I don't think God would send anybody to hell. Well, the answer to that question is, or that proclamation is, simply, well, whether you believe it or not, it's true. And if you keep on not believing it, and you haven't given your life to Christ, one day you will be there in hell. You will be leave there in hellfire, the lake of fire. Yes, you will. The Bible tells us, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Wow. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's found in Revelation 20. You look it up yourself. You know, the choice is yours. You can go up or you can go down. You know, I almost named this message Up or Down. The choice is ours. If you want to go up where God is, into his heavenly presence, hey, there's no problem. You can go there quite easily. All you have to do is repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that so hard to do? Well, you might say, well, I said it 1,000 times. It doesn't seem to make any difference. I pray your prayer. You got a prayer life, right? Once you give your life over to Christ, you got to pray. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Now, without ceasing doesn't mean that you walk around with your head in the air and your eyes closed and bumping into walls and talking to God. No, it means you always be in an attitude of prayer. When you see someone in need, you try to help them. You pray for them. When you're having trouble trying to walk circumspectly as God would have you, and it's really difficult, pray, pray, pray. You know, I've had numerous sicknesses in my life, throughout my whole life, one sickness after another. After I got saved and I gave myself over to Christ, you know, I prayed. I prayed, Lord, Lord, take this away from me. I had two types of cancer. I had other things that were wrong. And you know, I'm almost 80 today, and I still have things going wrong. I still have things going wrong. But, you know, and I believe in Jesus, what he did. And I pray, and I ask him to forgive it, for take it away from me. And then, you know, the Bible tells us, if he may not always take it away from you, but he will help you to get through it. To get through it. Many a morning I get up and I feel like I want to just go back to bed and stay there because I'm just not going to be worth anything to anybody anywhere the rest of the day. But you know what God tells me? Get up, you lazy good for nothing. Now, I'm only ad libbing. I know God wouldn't say that, but he does tell me to get up, and I get up. I say a prayer first before I get up, but then I talk to him, and I know to ask him to set me right the rest of the day, you know, and give me direction, give me joy in what I do, and help me to hold fast to his word. And he does. He does. Oh, what a great God we serve. What a great God we serve indeed. Oh, yes. You know, questions. Well, we have questions, of course. What are we going to do about our sin? That's the first question you got to ask yourself. I've been telling you all along, but you know, you got to ask yourself that. Can a church membership or rituals, ordinances, or any other good work, can that save us? No. No way. God's word tells us that there is no work we can do or merit earned by our best efforts that can save us from the guilt and penalty of sin. There is nothing we can do except to repent and believe in the gospel. You know, we are all an unclean vessel, all. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags, filthy rags. And we all do fade in, we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like wind, have taken us away. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, no. But according to his mercy, he saved us. And here's the real, real verse that really makes it all come together. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man, and that includes you too, ladies, any man or woman, that's anyone, any one of us should boast. That's found in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Read it for yourself. Read it over and over and over again till you can't forget it. Oh, yes. You know, if I want to read Romans 4, 2 to 5, okay, if you just bear with me. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God, rather. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not to him that worketh is the reward not. Not to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, Jesus Christ, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Your faith is counted for righteousness. Did you know that? Oh, yes, it is. What then? What must we do to be saved? Well, I've been telling you all along. And I'm going to keep telling you a little bit more until you get so much of it, you hear so much of it. The only way you can go on with your life is to tell it to others. Say, look, I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about, am I really saved? And I go to prayer to make sure that I am, you know, and then I think of my family. If they're truly saved, then I go to prayer again and I ask God to save them. You know, when I pray before my meals, I pray after my meals, I pray for my day, I pray for my family, I pray for my church, I pray without ceasing. Do you? Can you really say you do? The main focus here has got to be on repentance. Repentance. And a lot of people in churches today won't deal with repentance. They're afraid of it. You know, they figure, well, people just can't be the way God wants them to be. So just say, well, I'll do the best I can. When you're asking God to save you, I'll do the best I can. You know what? You can do better than that. Give your life over to Him. Believe in the cross. Tell Him you're a rotten, lousy sinner and you need His help. But don't just do it today or just today and tomorrow or the week after or the month after. Do it consistently. Even before you go to bed in the morning, say, Lord God, I thank you for the late night's rest, but I ask, Lord, that you'd lift me. These are my words now. I ask, Lord, please put my feet on the floor. Raise me up from the bed. I thank you for this night's rest you've given to me. But I pray, Lord, you go before me. Direct my path. Bless my family. Bless my home, Lord. But you know something else I throw in? That's just something I put in myself all the time when I pray is, Lord, please have mercy on the little children. On the little children. Oh, how important that is. You know, if we did more praying for those outside of our household, outside, away, far in the world, especially those who are being just abused totally. They're just, you know, they're being slaughtered. And the little children are so helpless. I've always had it in my heart for the little children. Always. And the best I can do these days is just pray, pray, pray without ceasing. And I know that's what God works with. He loves to hear you pray without ceasing. We serve a loving and righteous and holy God. Yes, we do. Don't you love God? Now, you can tell me right now, you can say, well, I thank you, preacher, for the words, but I know all about this. You know, I've gone through all this. Well, what about your friend? What about your family? What about those you meet out in society? Do they know all about it? Do they know that Jesus saves? Do they? You might say, well, if I was to try and preach to people at work, I'd be out of a job in no time at all. I'm not asking you to go to work and preach to people at work, no. You get to know people at work. And then maybe after work, you can go out, have a talk, or go for a walk. You know, you can talk to people, befriend them. And once they get to trust in you, then tell them about your Jesus. Tell them. Now it's up to them to receive it or not, to believe or not. It's up to you to tell them. You know, would you like to be in heaven now today and Lord saying to you, here, look at this list over here. These are all the people that you had a chance to talk to, but you didn't give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They never made it. You know what? I don't think I can handle it. You know what? I ain't going to have to handle it because I'm doing what God wants me to do, just what I'm doing right this moment. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about the blood of Christ. I'm talking about your need to make that decision quickly because tomorrow is promised to no one. No one. Oh, my friends. God so loved the world, yes he did, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the kind of God I serve. You know, you're going to have good days and bad days. I mean, God doesn't promise you, you know, that it's going to be a bed of roses until you get called home to glory. No. You're going to be in situations that you've been in even before you get saved. No, you're going to be in where groups of people are, and nobody talks about God unless they talk to disgrace themselves before him. You're going to be in these places because you're still in the world, you're still in the flesh. But you know, that's where you can do the most good, is while you're in the flesh and you are saved. You believe in the cross. Call out to God. Lord God, help me to say the words that will find lodging in this needy heart. He's my friend. She's my friend. This is my family, Lord. Help me to lead them onto the cross. Show me what to do. God's not going to cast you aside and say, you're on your own, pal. Go to it. No. Pray, pray, pray. God will direct your path. He will. He'll show you how to talk, how to commune with them, how to do and say the things that are going to make a difference in their lives. That's the kind of God we serve. Won't you? Won't you give us some thought today? You know, I'm not sure how you're going to take this message, but you know, I'm telling you what God has placed in my heart. I don't have a big long script here in front of me. I'm just telling you what God has laid in my heart. And I know there are a lot of people out there who need to know this, who need Jesus so desperately because the world's in total chaos. Please, won't you consider Jesus? Oh, please. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that this message will mean something to you. If you want to contact me, you can through battlesightforchristtillhecomes.net. I'll be glad to speak to you. But for now, I have to say goodbye because my time on the radio is gone for this week. But I'll be back again next week. And if you have anything to say to me, please contact me. Okay? Love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.